I wonder how thirsty you are today. I wonder that you are quenching your thirst with Gatorade. I wonder if you're quenching your thirst with Kool-Aid. Or I wonder if you are quenching your thirst with living water. My name is Pastor Keith Harcombe. I am your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. And we have been going through the last 3 weeks. In fact, Pastor Kathy led us into this series called Living Water. In fact, it's the annual theme for our Westlake Christian School, Living Water, based on John chapter 4, when the woman, the Samaritan woman, meets Jesus at the well. In the first week, Pastor Kathy took us through what happened at the well in the middle of Jacob's well in Sychar, where Jesus met the woman and the location of that and what that was like. And week two, Pastor Kathy took us to a place where we talked about John chapter 7, and Jesus says, I'm the living water. I'm the one that is going to sustain you for life. And you guys remembered your baptism. You put your hands in the water. You remembered what that water signified to you. And this week, we're going back to the well. Are you with me? You want to come back to the well and back to that moment where Jesus met the woman from Samaria. And we're going to jump right in today. We're going to go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, if you've got your Bible with you, open it. If not, go to your app and type it in, John chapter 4. And obviously, we'll show it on the screen here as we get back into what happened at the well. Jesus has just said to her, like gave her a word of knowledge. Jesus just said to her, I know what's going on in your life. I know that you've had 5 husbands. I know that the one you're with now is not your husband. And I know that you're coming every day here to the well to get water. I know everything that's going on. And as the woman realizes this, we're in verse 19. So verse 18, it says, you've had husbands and you spoke the truth. And the woman in response to this, in verse 19, says, Sir, you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship? Why we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim where our ancestors worshipped? The woman is a Samaritan woman. People from Samaria only believed in the first 5 books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, the first, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. They only believed in the first 5 books, and so she was different. She was from a different tribe, definitely from Jesus. And immediately, she understood that he was a prophet because he gave her a word of knowledge. He knew that she was what her life was like. She knew how she was suffering. She knew how she was suffering having had 5 husbands, and she knew he knew that whom she was. And she recognized that he was a prophet. So she kind of flipped. Maybe she got offended or something. I don't know. But she flipped this prophecy to something else. She says, "Well, you Jews say we should worship in Jerusalem on Mount Zion, and we are." The people in Samaria, we believe you should worship at Mount Gerizim. And where Jacob's well was, the physical location of Jacob's well, looked up at Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, and the two great mountains there where Moses did his great sermon across the mountains. This is exactly where it was. Jacob's well was here. And if you go there today, you can see the two mountains here. So she said to him, you Jews think you should worship on Zion. We believe we worship here. And she actually says to him, you prophesy to this. Tell me what we should do about this. You say that. We say this. Prophesy to this, Jesus. What is it meant to be? And Jesus answers. He says, believe me, dear woman. It's in verse 21. Believe me, dear woman. The time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or that mountain in Jerusalem. you Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes to the Jews. But the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. She was answered by the great prophet. He answered by saying, you Samaritans actually only believe 5 books of the Bible, which were insufficient for knowing all about whom the Messiah was going to be. Wasn't enough to understand what kind of person, what he would look like, what he would sound like, what his teaching would be like. You Samaritans only believe 5 of the books. We Jews believe all of the Old Testament would have been the Tanakh then. It says, but salvation comes through the Jews, but I'm going to tell you that's not going to matter anymore. In fact, a time is coming when no matter whether you're a Samaritan, no matter whether you're a Jew, no matter whether you're English, no matter whether you are Ukrainian, no matter whether you are from the United States of America, it's not going to matter. Your geographical boundaries are not going to be important to you. In fact, the very tribe that you are a part of, the way that you think and the way that you say things, the customs that you have, the different little quirks you have are not going to matter. Because a time is coming when the way you will be defined and the way you worship is in what? Spirit and in truth. And that word there for spirit is pneuma, which is a fun Greek word to say, and you're going to say it when you're ready. Pneuma. Some of you said it. The other service, like, they're more into it. You ready? You want to join me again? Pneuma. And this word, this Greek word means life and breath and the very spirit of God, which is poured into us. Those of you who decide to call on Jesus and call him your Lord and Savior and decide to follow him. To those of you that know the comfort of God, to those of you who know that Jesus restores you, to those of you who know that the Holy Spirit comes in and fills your life. Since we worship in spirit and truth. No matter where you're from, no matter what tribe you're from, the time is coming. In fact, it's here right now, says Jesus, at Jacob's Well, at the historic monumental place where Jews have gathered for years. A time is coming when that's not even going to matter anymore. How ironic that Jesus is at the very monumental place where it's not even going to matter anymore. He says, spirit and in truth. When we worship like that, that's how God's going to recognize. That's how God's going to recognize whether you are worshiping or not. And she says, yeah, I know that. She says in verse 25 what we know. Says in verse 25 what we've recognized and we follow. The woman says, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Samaritans believe this. Jews believe this. So one bonding thing that everybody in that time, in first century Israel, everybody was focused in their life. They were really looking forward to the Messiah coming. They all were looking for this Messiah that would come and change their environment, change their world, and change their living situation. When a Messiah comes, it's going to be a great day. She says, yeah, I know that. That's something that keeps us in common. That's one of the things we have in common. That's what I like about this time of year. In Lent, as we prepare for Easter, as we prepare for the great resurrection once a year, when you're driving down the street to church on Easter morning, and you pass the Lutherans, you pass the Presbyterians, you pass the Baptists, you pass the Episcopalians, you pass the non-denominational, you pass the non-denominational churches, you realize that everybody is gathering and they're all absolutely excited about a couple of things. Everybody likes candy. Everybody likes new life, lambs, bunnies, all that kind of things. And everybody is focusing on that Jesus came back to life and was resurrected. Amen? It's like, oh, we all got the same thing going on here. Oh, yeah. And the woman at the well, the woman at Jacob's well says, yeah, we believe that. I believe that, Jesus. She didn't know his name was Jesus. I believe that. Yeah, we all believe that, in fact. We all believe that the Messiah is coming. We all believe that the Messiah is coming. And he's going to restore everything to us, and he's going to be a great king. And then Jesus dropped this great big mic drop clangor in the next verse. You ready? Next verse, he says, I am the Messiah. Boom! In other verses, it says, I am he. You see, the one you are looking for, the one that is the same as Yahweh, I am he, I'm here. I am talking to you. The very one that we're talking about is going to restore your life. The very one that's going to give you hope and a freedom in your life is here, sitting at the well, talking to you. She's like, whoa. I hate that the author doesn't capture what's going on in the woman's face here. I hate that the author didn't say, and then the woman's jaw dropped, bang. And was there a mighty flash and a mighty thunder crack from the heavens, pow, as Jesus dropped this great clangor right on the woman's feet? Wasn't there some sort of record scratch? What does the woman do? What does she do with this new information? What does she do with this information that is finally for her? What does she do with this acceptance? What does she do with this joy of knowing that the Messiah came for her? This woman that was living in shame, the woman that was embarrassed about what was going on, like, what does she do? We read further down, it says, the woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone. So the very reason she was at the well at 12 o'clock every day was to get what? Water. To drop the bucket down 100 feet down to the living water that was flowing at the valley of Jacob's well. It was the real good water. She went there every day to get the water. It wasn't like she was just there because it was cool. It was a duty. She had to go there. That was what she did. There was no faucets back then, right? You guys have a faucet? No faucets back then. You went, you got your water for the day, and you came back and you used that water for the day. And all of a sudden, because she has this new news, she has this news that's for herself, she drops the urn, she drops the jar, she drops this receptacle that she gets her water in every day. And what does she do? She runs to Sychar, to the village. And what does she say when she gets to Sychar? What does she say when she gets back to her fellow Samaritans? I met this guy at the well, and he made me feel really bad about having 5 husbands. I met this guy at the well, and he was really judgmental. In fact, you Samaritans, you've been teaching me this thing all my life about Gerizim and all that kind of thing. You're all wrong. It's going to be on the other one. And I've now moved from this side, and I'm over this side. You're all wrong. She didn't say that, did she? She didn't say, I met this man at the well in the middle of a day. That was a faux pas. That was culturally unacceptable. And Jesus, like, just blew that out the water. I'm not making fun of Sicarian traditions. We have our own customs and traditions that are well messed up. And if Jesus came here today, he'd be like, stop that. She went to the village. She went to the village. Have you ever thought about this? What did she say when she got to the village? I always have this like vision of the woman, like her hair's flown back. It's like Hollywood, all her hair's going everywhere. And she's like, guess what? This happened. Guess what? This, you know, and she's just going along, just telling people, and she runs through the market like Aladdin. Remember Aladdin, the cartoon version? She's just jumping through all these hoops and telling everyone, oh, guess what? I met this guy. It was amazing. It transformed my life. What did she say? Maybe some people are like, oh, you're that woman. What man are you talking about now? Someone's like, nobody listens to you in your testimony. It's unreliable, woman. Get out of here. I'm not following you. What does the scripture say that happened? She said, come and see. Many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, he told me everything I did. This is verse further down the bottom here, 38. Many believed. He told me everything I ever did. When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. He begged him to stay in their village for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. Then they said to the women, now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world. What happened when the woman said, come and see? Many believed. Not everybody believed, but many believed. And come, he's at the well. He's at the well. You know the well, the Jacob's well, where I go get the water. Come, he's going to be at the well. And they all go to the well. And they're all sitting around listening to Jesus. The disciples are like, these are the Samaritan people we don't like. Couldn't you pick some nicer people? Some people who are like, they play golf and pay the taxes. I don't know, some nice people. Why the Samaritans? Hey, we really like your teaching. Would you stay with us 2 days? Come on, you gotta be kidding me, Jesus. And he stays with them in the town of Sychar, the most Samaritan towns, and teaches them. And not only do they believe in what the woman has said to them, they now believe what Jesus teaches. And they follow his teaching. Because it's good for their lives and good for their spirits and good for their souls as well. Amen? The woman is our first evangelist. The woman is the first person to help us understand the nature of how we communicate the gospel. The woman is the one that says, no matter what your squabbles are, no matter where you are from, no matter where your family is from, no matter where your geographical location is, no matter what denomination you possibly grew up in, no matter whatever, there's this great sweeping theological statement that the Samaritans realize. This great sweeping statement that everybody wants to hear but finds it hard to get in the heart. They say, we believe he is the Savior of the Gentiles. We believe he is the Savior of everybody from Palm Harbor. We believe he is the Savior of just those in the United States of America. He is the Savior of the world. Today, there is a simple question. If you were a person that needed to go daily to a location to get water, to a place to quench your thirst, what would you put in your jar, in your urn? What would you put in that would quench your thirst? And if you were at said well, at Jacob's well-like place, and you were there, what would it be that make you drop your jar? Like, oh, you're not going to believe this. You're not going to believe what happened to me. This is what happened to me, and it changed my life. I believe that God comforted me. I believe that God comforted me. I believe that Jesus restored my relationship with him. I believe that because of that, the Holy Spirit dwells in my life. If you believe that, say amen. And when we believe that, we tell other people about it. We drop our jars and we run and we tell people. Maybe we don't jump through Publix and skip in and say, you believe in Jesus, you know? No, maybe not. But maybe we invite them to something. Maybe we invite them to, I don't know, Easter egg hunt. Who doesn't like free candy? Maybe we invite them along to vacation Bible school in the summer. Maybe invite them along to Easter services. It's amazing how many people still celebrate Easter. Invite them and say, come and see what is happening in my life. Because if it's good news for you, it's got to be good news for them. Amen? Come and see. Invite people to what Christ has done in your life. Invite people to how God has comforted you. Invite people to see that the Holy Spirit has affected and infected you with a new message. Come and see. Drop your jar. Drop your jar and invite people to what's going on in your life. Do this in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.